ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण Well, it's nice to see so many faces gathered here on this most auspicious of days, the Avirbhava of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Ajanu lamita bujau kanaka vadato sankirtanai kapitarau kamalaya taksho vishvambaro jijavarau yugadharma palo Vande jagat priyakaro karuna avataro. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, whose long arms extend to their knees. They have splendid golden complexions, and they inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of the names of the Lord. Their eyes resemble the petals of the lotus flowers. They are the maintainers of all the worlds, the best of the Brahmins, the protectors of the religious principles for this age, the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan. They bring happiness to the people of the world and are the most merciful of all the incarnations of the Godhead, most merciful. Name Nityananda, Tumi Rupe Nityananda, E Tumi Nityananda Rama Murtimanta. Your name is Nityananda, your form is Nityananda, you are indeed the abode of eternal bliss. Nitya, eternal, Ananda, bliss. That is the name that he took. Why would he take the name Nityananda? Because that is what he's here to deliver. That's what he's here to provide. And Nityananda is who in Krishna Leela? He is none other than Sri Balaram. In Rama Leela, he is who? Sri Lakshman. So Krishna doesn't go far without Balaram. Ram doesn't go anywhere without Lakshman. And Chaitanya does not go far without Nityananda. These are the same personalities, my friends, manifest time and time again in different forms, in different leelas. And how long does this go on for? Nitya, eternally. So, Nityananda is Balaram. Therefore, he is Anantashesha. Anantashesha is the serpent couch of Vishnu. When Vishnu enters into the material creation, to create the diversity of the material creation, to set into motion again the karmic experiences for all the living entities who are down here in the material world, he lies down upon the causal ocean, on the water? No. On the serpent couch, the serpent bed. And that serpent is called Ananta Shesha, right? So Shesha in Sanskrit means the end or the ultimate. And Ananta means unending or unlimited. The unending end or the ultimate unlimited. There's a wonderful contradiction in there somewhere. So Shesha Naga, he's a Naga, serpent, is none other than Balaram. is none other than Nityananda. And Shesha's responsibilities include manifesting the bed for Vishnu to lie in the mystic sleep of Yoga Nidra and create the creation, material creation. But he also takes the form of all the things that Vishnu needs or Chaitanya needs in this particular lila, or Krishna needs in that lila, such as what? Bed, umbrella, slippers, clothing, whatever. That is none other than Anantashesha, same form. So whatever Krishna eats or touches is not made out of matter, even in the material world. It's absolute. It's pure spirit. That's Nityananda's job. Talk about shape-shifting. Become a bed, become a lota, water pot, whatever he needs. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the thousand-headed Anantashesha. Thousand heads. They say that when Anantashesha speaks the glories of Vishnu, of Krishna, of Chaitanya, even with his thousand mouths, he never runs out of things to say. He never goes, let me think. It flows. All the wonderful, unending, unlimited glories of God come out of his thousand mouths. His thousand mouths are the abode of Lord Krishna's transcendental glories. As valuable jewels are kept in a favored place, the jewel-like glories of Lord Krishna are kept in the jewelry case of Lord Ananta's mouths. Isn't that beautiful? That's such beautiful poetry. The jewelry case of Lord Ananta's mouths. Most valuable possession. Once during Kirtan, when Chaitanya and Nitai were here 500 years ago, I'm going to get into that a little bit more in a minute. They were chanting and dancing much like we are here today. And by the way, when you watch others chant and dance, you see other people dancing, what happens? Like today. You smile. Don't you smile? Oh, look. The men were dancing so nicely. The women were dancing very lovely with the children. Krishna loves it. He loves that. That makes his day. Both Radha and Krishna, they smile too. They want you to be happy. They want you to have a nice time. They want you to enjoy yourself. That's what Krishna really wants. More than anything, he wants you to be happy. Without care. Without worry. I mean, how simple is that? That is just the pure essence of what Krishna wants for you. And what's he doing? Well, he's the number one rascal of them all. He's just running around the forest, dancing with the gopis, looking after the cows, playing with the coward boys, playing a few tunes on the flute. That's what he likes to do. So when you like to do it too, wonderful. That's what he likes. So one time, Nityananda went into ecstasy when the chanting was going on, the chanting, the dancing. And he began to exhibit all the symptoms of that ecstasy of love of God. And there are many. Such as horripilation, hair standing on end, perspiration, swooning, fainting. Sometimes their ecstasy would be so intense, sometimes the joints would come apart. That's kind of an advanced stage. So Nityananda was in this state, and the devotees were trying to comfort him. They were trying to settle him down kind of gather him in. Wasn't possible. Wasn't possible. Until Chaitanya sat down and he took him, Nityananda, on his lap. And he calmed him. And he subdued him. And he became peaceful and he returned to his senses in the surrounding circumstance. And how did that work? Because it says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that Nityananda floated in the waters of Chaitanya's love. Floated in the waters of Chaitanya's love. Gadadhar, who is one of the Panchatattva, I'm going to explain them in a minute. One of the Panchatattva, the five features of the Godhead, who appeared 500 years ago on this planet in Bengal, in India. Gadadhar looked at the two of them, saw Nityananda on the lap of Chaitanya, and he began to smile. He found that entertaining. Why? Because he witnessed none other than Anantasheshas serpent couch on top of Vishnu. Instead of Vishnu on top of the serpent couch. The tables were turned, the roles were reversed, and Vishnu was, Chaitanya was looking after Nityananda. They say in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that the only comparison of the love between Chaitanya and Nittai is the love between Ram and Lakshman. Same. Same. Inseparable. Ram and Lakshman, they were inseparable. You know the story in the Ramayana. So then Chaitanya acknowledges who Nityananda is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He says, I know you to be the full power of the Godhead. Only by worshipping you can a living entity attain devotional service to Krishna. You are able to purify the 14 worlds. Your confidential characteristics are inconceivable and unfathomable. Who is qualified to recognize you? For you are the personified wealth of loving devotion to God, to Krishna, the personified wealth. If a person associates with you for even a moment, he will be delivered, even if he has committed millions of sinful activities. Don't let this be lost on you, my friends. If you associate with Lord Nityananda for even a moment, you can be delivered from lifetimes of millions of sinful activities. How is that possible? How potent is that? You can say, yeah, but he's not here anymore. He left the planet 500 years ago. Oh, he's here. He's here. God is absolute. You meditate on God, where is he? He's there. He's in your mind. You chant, he's on your tongue. Here he is, Radha Govinda, on the altar. He's there. He's always there, always present. It's absolute. So this is the potency of Nityananda. Chaitanya continues, I have understood that Krishna will deliver me because he has given me your association, Nittai. Out of great fortune, I have seen your lotus feet. Just by worshipping you, I will achieve the wealth of love for Krishna. Lord Gauranga, or Chaitanya, was fully absorbed as he incessantly offered prayers to Lord Nityananda. So this is how absorbed Chaitanya became just by being around Nityananda. Okay. Gauranga told everybody that you must be very careful and not make an offense at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Do not create offense. He says, I boldly declare this. Nityananda is more dear to me than my very life. The love and devotion of anyone who commits offenses at the lotus feet of Nityananda can certainly be checked, or anybody who feels envious of Nityananda. This is a very interesting point. Very interesting point. Why? In Christianity, in different religions, in Christianity, what do they talk about? They talk about, at least in Catholicism, maybe, I don't know about the others, they talk about the original sin. Remember? Original sin? Well, I think that's a reasonable concept. What is original sin? What is it? What is the original sin? Enviousness of God. That's the original sin. We're all in the spiritual world. We're living with God. Everything seems to be going on fairly nicely. And one day you wake up and you say, wait a second. How come you get to be God all the time? I want a shot. I'd like to be God for a while. That's envy, no? If you say to your neighbor, I don't understand why that she's driving a Mercedes-Benz. I don't get it. I should be driving the Mercedes-Benz and she should be driving my old Volkswagen. Is that not envy? Yeah. So God, in His infinite mercy, says, oh, you want to be God? No problem. You can have a try, have a go, but not here. Not in the spiritual world. It's my house. But I got a place for you. It's down there a ways. And you can go there and set yourself up as the center of the universe. You can be number one, numero uno, head honcho in your own world down in the material creation. Well, my friends, here we all are. Here we are. Because we are envious of God. So we are busy knocking our heads against the wall, trying to satisfy ourselves, being independent of the Godhead. Because we are envious. So how is that working for you, my friends? How is that working? How many lifetimes have you been here? Hundreds? Thousands? Everybody happy? It's all working. You've escaped death. You've escaped old age. You've escaped misery. Nobody here ever gets sick. No? It hasn't worked? No. Not down here. Down here we are all fish out of water. So, that's the original sin. Being envious. Why would Chaitanya and all the associates, so many devotees that were there with them at that time, why would he even mention? I was thinking about this. Why would he even say to the devotees, you cannot be envious of Nityananda? Why would he even say that? Because he had been with many of the devotees for the longest time, and then Nityananda came on the scene somewhat later. And all of a sudden he was placed in this paramount position, the favored brother. Right? So what do we do, we humans? Oh, wait a second. You know, I've been here longer. I mean, I know everybody. I know how it goes. I know the ropes. So maybe some people felt like that. So otherwise, why would he say that? I'm speculating a little bit, but, you know, he warned very, very strongly that one should not be envious of Nityananda. If you are, we lose the mercy of Krishna. Years ago, I was in the Sanskrit department in Los Angeles when we were producing Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. I was initially an editor on those books, and then I became the chief editor and ran the department for a few years. I was there working in the Sanskrit department for about 3 years until Prabhupada left his body. I remember a couple of devotee friends of mine who were not happy with some of Prabhupada's choices of people in positions of leadership. They were unhappy. And, you know, Prabhupada himself explained, which I didn't know at the time. He said, these are battlefield commissions. You know what a battlefield commission is? That's when you're on the battlefield and the captain gets killed. So you ask the lieutenant to step up to captain. Then the lieutenant gets killed and you ask the sergeant to become the captain. Does the sergeant have that training? No. Is the sergeant qualified to become captain? No. But you have to have somebody in charge. That's a battlefield commission. So he appoints people, Prabhupada, into positions for which many of them had no qualification. What was he to do? He had to put people in positions. He utilized whomever Krishna sent. Whomever Krishna sent, he utilized. He didn't say, Krishna, I'm rejecting that one. Please send another. No. Everybody is engaged. You're all engaged. You're all valuable. You're all helpful. You're all worthy in some capacity. So, because sometimes people had positions for which they weren't always qualified, these devotees I'm telling you about became very critical of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was around then. He was around. And they tell me, you know, oh, he's this, he's doing that. So now they're criticizing a Vaishnava. You never criticize the Vaishnava. Never. You never criticize the devotee. The devotee is always considered to be rightly situated, even when making mistakes. Why? How can he be rightly situated when making mistakes? If his intention is true, if his intention is good, if his heart is in the right place, but he makes mistakes, he's rightly situated. He's doing what he does for the right reasons. We all make mistakes. So in this way, we would have conversations from time to time, and they would criticize Prabhupada to me. And you should never listen to that. It's not good. But at the same time, they're my friends. What am I going to do? You see the situation I was in. I didn't participate with them in criticizing Prabhupada. I listened. What happened? Both of those people disappeared from the shelter of Nityananda's lotus feet, of Prabhupada's lotus feet. Nityananda is the original guru, the original spiritual teacher in the universe, Nityananda. So, one of them I saw a few years later in New York. I got a hold of him, because I didn't know what happened to him. Somebody gave me his number. I called him. I said, you want to get together? How are you doing? He said, yeah, I'm doing good. He said, you want to go have lunch? I said, yeah, let's go have lunch. So he took me to a restaurant in New York, pizza place. Fine. And he ordered beef on his pizza. He ordered beef. No. He didn't see it. He didn't get it. He was all the way over the other end. He had lost all of his bhakti, all of his devotion, all of his spiritual consciousness. The other guy I heard about, he had left devotional service. He had joined a doomsday cult. And they had stored up I don't know how much food and supplies in a cave up in North Dakota. And he was posted as the guard in the cave carrying an M16 automatic rifle. Just waiting for doomsday, as you do. When is that Armageddon going to come anyway? I'm getting hungry. Eh? That's what that Prabhu is doing. Now, this was Prabhupada that was being criticized. It's not just you and me, no offense. You cannot criticize each other. You cannot criticize the devotees. There is a price to pay. That is what Chaitanya is teaching here. You can try to correct things if they need correcting, but you cannot criticize. Now, speaking of all that, doomsday cult. You know, I've been around for quite a few years now, as you can obviously see. I've been into spiritual life for 40 years. I had my awakening in 1969. And by the time 1972-73 rolled around, I was a devotee. And, you know, nowadays we hear a lot about this, the quantum shift or the dimensional shift that's going to take place in the world. The Christians call it Armageddon. Some people like to call it the Ascension. Back in the 80s, we had the harmonic resonance. You may not remember that one. That was really touted all over the place. The harmonic resonance is about to take place. Everything's going to change tomorrow. And then, of course, just recently we had the planetary alignment of December 21st. Was it 2012? No? You remember that one? And everything was going to change because the planets were all in a straight line. And I was speaking at International Astrological Conventions as a featured speaker. And they said to me, well, what do you think is going to happen when the planetary alignment happens? I'd say, nothing. Nothing's going to happen. Well, what about the big shift in consciousness? What about when we all get liberated and everything changes? It's already happened, my friends. It already happened. That's why whenever they predict something to happen, it never happens. Because it already happened 500 years ago when Chaitanya and Nityananda appeared on the planet. That's when it happened. Why? How do we know? They brought pure love of God. Well, you can talk about a planetary shift. You can talk about ETs floating around and the UFOs, spaceships. I believe in all that. I've seen them with my own eyes. I've seen spaceships. So what? So where are we going with all this? There's nothing higher than love of God. And that's what Chaitanya and Nityananda came here to present for your consideration 500 years ago. And we know we are in Kali Yuga, the Iron Age, the four ages of the universe, the four yugas. This is the Iron Age. This is the winter of the universe. This age right now. Four seasons. There are four seasons in the universe. Sattva, Golden Age, Treta, Silver Age, Dwapara, Bronze Age, and Kali, Iron Age. Age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Prabhupada always referred to it as. You're in it, friends. You're in it. You don't believe me, read the newspaper. I don't have to convince you here. Okay. And within the Iron Age of Kali Yuga, There is like a minor golden age. That's what we're in. Can you also see this happening? Are people awakening? Are they becoming more conscious? Now we've almost driven the planet into a hellhole with the way we behave. So whether we can pull it out of that, I'm not sure. But we're becoming more conscious of what has to be done. Many people are. This began with the advent of Chaitanya Nitai 500 years ago. It is meant to last, this minor golden age, for how long? 10,000 years. Earth years. And we're 500 in. Good start, huh? Well, pretty good start. You can also see it's happening, the golden age. Well, if it's 10,000 years long, how long is Kali Yuga? The Iron Age, 432,000 years only. And we're 5,000 in, so we have 427,000 remaining. Yes, take a breath. If I were you, I wouldn't want to be coming back here too frequently in future lifetimes. Let us get off the wheel of repeated birth and death. More importantly, let's develop our love. What's better than love? That's why Chaitanya and Nitai came. So, a couple of days ago on my blog, I got a Facebook blog, I put this. Persons are very rare that are devoted to God with their whole souls. If the world would be populated by such persons who are full of universal compassion, who are endued with knowledge of the soul, and who are always employed in doing good to others, then the golden age would set in. Correct? All persons would act without any personal desire or need for selfish gain. Wow. Can you imagine? I can imagine. I was on the planet when Prabhupada was here. Everything Prabhupada did is that, to a T. He is the person Bhagavat. He is the embodiment of God consciousness. Even his movements, simple things, were the. You can watch them on the videos. It's true. So if we all were to become God conscious and not selfish, I know it's not easy. I know. You know, we say, well, this person needs to do that, and I'm going to go protest. You can protest. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to protest against the government or against this or that. Okay, fine. But you know, but what's the most important and powerful thing you can do? Is become that selfless person. No limit in your love. Unconditionally loving and respectful and embracing of whom? Everyone. Everyone. That's how it gets done. That's how it will be created. You want a golden age? Go make it. Go do it. Let's do it together. That's why they came here. Chaitanya Nitai. Who did Chaitanya give the initial order to preach the philosophy of love and devotion to God? To spread the word? To Nityananda. Why? Because he's the original guru. Balaram Nityananda is the first guru in the universe. And at that time when he was here, he gave him the region of Bengal. Yours is Bengal. Here your region is Fermanagh, County Dublin, County Galway, the great continent of Ireland, wherever. What was the prediction? every town and village. Chaitanya said, in every town and village, my name will be known. They will chant the names of God in every town and village throughout the world. At that time, when Prabhupada was here and I was in Los Angeles, it was very, very exciting time. Very exciting. Because so many things were happening then. And there were some devotees, they said, and this was when the Iron Curtain was still in place. So in the Soviet Republic, the Soviet Union had captured all of these countries, as you may know historically. And behind the Iron Curtain, there were so many countries that were forced to join Russia as part of its satellites, whatever. And these people were free to travel nowhere. They couldn't leave the Soviet Union. And it was a communist country. You couldn't worship God. You could not officially believe in God. It was against the law. Can you imagine? And you had no freedoms, real freedoms, to travel the world and interact with other people. Do what you need to do. No. And then some devotees said, we're going behind the Iron Curtain. Scary. It was scary business. Devotees risked their lives. They were arrested and they were followed by the Stasi and the KGB and, you know.
What are these guys up to? That's what I want to know. Yeah?
And look what's happened now. The Iron Curtain has fallen. Berlin Wall has fallen. I know that's not recent. I'm well aware of that. But it's in my lifetime. It's pretty amazing. And now everybody goes freely. It's wonderful. How many devotees have come out of Eastern Europe in communist countries? How many? Countless. Why? Because they love Krishna too. How can you not love Krishna? All he wants to do is run around, play, and have fun. What could be better? And eat prasadam. Let's not forget. God, eat prasadam. Prabhupada would say, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, take more prasadam. He knew that that guy, he'd only have to eat his way back to Godhead because it wasn't going to go any other way. Take more prasadam, give. He knew. Prabhupada knew. So, Chaitanya Nitai, what are they offering? Krishna Prema. Love of God. Krishna Prema. If Krishna Prema, love of God, is compared to the ocean, then what would material pleasure be in comparison to that? A drop in the hoof print of a calf. A drop of water in the hoof print of a calf is material pleasure compared to love of Godhead. And you can say, oh no, I don't think that's true. Well, you cannot say that because unless you have Krishna Prema, you don't know. So that's what we do here. We invite you to have just a taste. Please come. Just a taste. If you don't like it, you go home. Oh, you're back. Oh, you liked it. Very nice. Good to see you again. Come, sit down.
Give him prasadam. Give him more.
In the rainy season, in Bengal, you know, the Ganges reaches this intense volume, intense velocity. The Ganges is a fast-moving river anyway. When you get out there, you know, you don't want to swim out too far. You know, Lord Nityananda, he'd swim right out in the middle. during the rainy season, with all this volume of water going through, when most of us would be calling 999.
Rescue 999, yeah, we have a man in the water.
Right? Nityananda would be out there in the middle, and he'd be chasing the crocodiles. He'd be trying to catch the crocodiles in the middle of the Ganga. And the devotees would be on the bank or in the shells, and they'd be looking at him going, what's he doing? Does he not know they're crocodiles? He's an Antishesha. He's with his peeps. He's with his crew. The crocodiles. The reptiles. Right? He's enjoying himself. So, Panchatattva. There they are on the wall. That's a picture right there. Panchatattva. That is Lord Chaitanya right there in the middle. This is Lord Chaitanya over here to the right of the altar. Right? So, Chaitanya is God. Original personality of Godhead. Nityananda is the first manifestation of Vishnu Tattva. He always wears blue, just like Balaram. There he is on the left side of the altar is Nityananda. The first manifestation or expansion of the Godhead. He is Vishnu Tattva. He is fully God. Vishnu Tattva means fully God energy. Yeah. Then Advaita is the older gentleman on the left with the white hair and beard. Advaita, it was due to his prayers, and he was worshipping Shalagram Shila with Tulsi leaves and Ganga water on the bank of the Ganges, and he was shouting at Krishna, come down here! Get down here! You must come and help these people. They're all an illusion. When will you come? I don't know how long he did it for, like years. He did it religiously. Religiously. That was his religion. Invoking God's mercy. He too is Vishnu Tattva. He too is God energy. That's a good one too, isn't it? God asking God to come down. That's a good one. I like that one. When will I listen? And that's why Chaitanya and Nityananda came. They say because of Advaita's invocation. Then we have Gadadhar is just to the right of Chaitanya with the kind of pinkish dhoti on. And Gadadhar is Hladini Shakti. Shakti means energy. Hladini means pleasure potency of God. The pleasure potency. Joy. Happiness. If you look at the altar now, you see Krishna Govinda on the left. He's the blackish fellow. And on the right is his consort, Sri Radha. Who is she? She is the pleasure potency, Hladini Shakti. She did not appear in Chaitanya Leela in the same way. She appeared as Gadadhar in a male form, but the same energy, similar energy. Then the fifth person of the Pancha Tattva, Pancha means five, Tattva means truths. The fifth person on your right is Srivas. He is Jiva Tattva. He is a regular living being like you and me. We are Jiva. We are souls. Right? Jiva Tattva. So he was the form of the devotee showing us how to worship. Okay. The Satvata Tantra explains that God God's energies are divided into three: thinking, feeling, and acting. In his thinking energy, he's the Supreme Lord Narayan. In his feeling energy, he is Vasudev. And in his acting energy, he is Sankarshan Balaram, non-different than Nittai. What does that mean? If that's true, then Nityananda's job was to spread love of God. He was to make it happen, to put it into motion. He was the potency of action. Make it happen. Boots on the ground. In his case, lotus feet on the ground. That's what he did. Okay? Okay, I'm almost... let's look at a couple of stories, because I just printed out a few stories that are so wonderful. One time, Chaitanya and Nittai were at the house of Sachidevi, Chaitanya's mother. And they were sitting down taking prasadam. And Sachidevi, Sachimata, was serving them. So she was going from the kitchen, getting plates and bringing them into where they were seated, having their prasadam. So they were like, the scene resembled Ram and Lakshman eating together in the house of Kaushalya. Very many loving exchanges between Chaitanya and Nityananda. Very common. So then she appeared with another plate of food, and right in front of her eyes, the two plates in front of each of them turned into three plates. She went, What just happened? They looked at her. She's discombobulating. They started to smile. Then she went out. She returned with more food. She didn't say a word. And now there's two boys sitting there, about 5 years old. One is white complexion, and one is dark complexion. Very attractive youths. But now they're naked, like little boys, and they have their forearm form. And they're eating the food as if, you know, didn't miss a beat. So they were decorated with a conch, disc, club, lotus, and of course Balaram, plow and stick. They're also decorated with the Srivatsa, what's the mark of Lakshmi, on the chest, and the Kaustubha gem. The Kaustubha gem is a gem that Krishna always wears. That gem is supposed to resemble a calf. It's supposed to be like a picture of a calf. I've never actually seen it, but Shri Shri Radha Govind. And they were both wearing fish-shaped earrings. And within Chaitanya's chest, she saw her daughter-in-law, Lakshmi Priya. She appeared in his heart. Like you see Hanuman, sometimes he opens his chest. And you see Ram and Lakshman in the heart of Hanuman. You've seen this painting, yeah? So all of a sudden she could see no more. She passed out and she fell senseless to the ground. Yeah, well, who could blame her? So her whole body and clothes became wet due to tears of love. So while she was seeing these amazing visions, she was smitten with love of God. Let me tell you, my friends, when Krishna decides to appear to you or to give you a sign, or to somehow connect with you on some level, it is not just a visual experience. It is also an opening of the heart that takes place. And you will feel the love. You will feel that connection like never before. It does not happen in a vacuum. The rice such she was carrying in her hands, scattered all over the room. Seeing this extraordinary scene had made Mother Sachi swoon. Mahaprabhu quickly got up, he washed his hands, this is Chaitanya, picked up his mother, saying, "Oh mother, please get up. Please calm down. Why have you suddenly fallen to the ground?" he asks her. After a while, Sachi revived, quickly tied up her hair. She spoke not a word, didn't say a thing. And she went to her room and she cried, overwhelmed by the love that she was feeling and this vision that she had just been blessed with to see. Breathing heavily, her whole body shivered and she became filled with love of God and forgot everything else. Okay, since I don't have a lot of time left, I'll skip to this one. Nityananda was an avaduta. He was a very renounced soul. There's a sannyasi which means a renunciate, completely renounced, not involved in material things at all. But a sannyasi maintains his body and his health and this and that and does whatever his duty is. An avaduta, that's a step much further. An avaduta doesn't even think about his bodily maintenance or his duties because he's normally just absorbed in his bhajan, in his love for God. That's Nityananda at that point. So he was already at pretty much as far as you could go in terms of spiritual advancement when you think of it on the level that we're on. And then one day Chaitanya said to him, "Okay, enough of that. Now go get married. I want you to take a wife." Nityananda's like, What? He says, "You yourself have renounced marriage and taken up sannyas, and now you're telling me I should go take a wife. I don't get it. You want me to absorb myself in materialism." He said, "No. I want you to be able to preach to the householders, the householder devotees, the people in society. I want you to be able to reach those people. And the best way to reach them is to appear like they do in the same ashram of life." So, Nityananda came to Suryadas Pandit. Suryadas Pandit was a Brahmin scholar, a very good man at the time. And he said to Suryadas Pandit, "I wish to marry your daughter, Janava." Suryadas Pandit knew who Nityananda was. He knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he had actually been hoping that this day would arrive. Right? But then, when Nityananda actually presented the idea to him, he became all bewildered. He fell under the illusory energy of God. And he says, "This is not possible. Many things must be considered. We must consider social status, astrological compatibility, family background. You can just marry her." So, Nityananda left. Then, Suryadas Pandit told his family the dream he had had the night before. And in that dream, Balaram arrived outside of his house on a chariot with a flag. And what is the symbol on the flag of Balaram's chariot, by the way? No. No, it's not Hanuman. That is Arjuna's chariot is called Hanuman. It's a palm tree.
Haribol.
Okay. It's a palm tree. Because Balaram is, he's the patron of farming, agriculture. Okay, so he had a plow and a stick in the dream. Flowers decorated his hair. He was wearing golden earrings and blue clothing, as always. And he told Suryadas Pandit, I have come to marry your daughter. This was the dream. And then Janava, Suryadas's daughter, who was in the other room, she overheard all this. Right? And she began to cry, her natural love for the Lord filling her heart. She covered her face with a cloth, and very quickly the cloth became wet with tears. Suryadas Pandit said, Nityananda is the Supreme Brahman. He's God Himself. We're simple householders. How can we marry our daughter to the Supreme Brahman? It's just not possible. He talked himself into it. He talks himself out of it. He talks himself in and out. I mean, you know, that's what he's doing here. In the meantime, poor Janava, she's beside herself. So what happens? At this, Janava was overtaken with a seizure and she fell unconscious to the ground. Her eyes rolled in their sockets and her skin became cold and damp. The doctor came, he was called, he came, he diagnosed her with epilepsy. He administered medicine, she did not respond. He announced, she cannot be cured. Take her down to the Ganga and perform last rites. She will not survive. She will die. Well, a moment ago, I thought we had this happy occasion, and now Janava is on her deathbed. Right? So, Suryadas Pandit and his associates, the other men and family members, decided they must have committed some kind of offense at the feet of Nityananda. Why has this terrible thing happened? So several men led by Suryadas Pandit went to Nityananda and fell at his feet asking for forgiveness. And Nityananda picked them up and said, oh my cowherd man, have you forgotten me? So these are all the cowherd men, the gopas from Krishna Leela. They have taken births in this Chaitanya Leela in different forms to enact the Leela, the pastimes of God. Have you forgotten me? Don't you recognize me? He's saying. Suryadas said, please give us the shelter of your lotus feet. They all returned to Suryadas Pandit's house. Janava was lying unconscious on the doorstep. Her eyes bulged from their sockets and tears fell incessantly. The end of her life was at hand. Her soul was about to leave her body. The aroma of Lord Nityananda then entered her nostrils. Ooh, Nityananda. Smelled him. Could smell him. As she smelled this aroma, she began to regain consciousness. She sat up. So where am I? What's happening? And then she quickly got up, covered her head with her sari, and entered the house. Brought round instantly. Suryadas Pandit then summoned the family priest and asked him to choose an auspicious date and time for the marriage of Lord Nityananda and Janava Devi. So that's how their marriage came about. And I'll end with this little bit here. One day, a few days later, Nityananda was sitting still in the house of Suryadas Pandit, and he was taking his prasadam. He was eating his lunch. And Janava, was his wife, was serving him. And Janava's younger sister, Vasudha, was also serving. And since she was a child, her heart had been given to Nityananda, Vasudha, the other sister. So that was her love, as far as she was concerned. So as she was serving, her hands were full, plates. Her sari came off her head. Of course, she must cover her head. So she couldn't cover her head because her hands were full. So she manifested two other arms. Now she's in her forearm form. Two plates in these hands. With the other hand, put the sari back on the head and continue serving. As you do. Nityananda looked at her and said, please come. Please sit down beside me. She sat down. He called Suryadas Pandit and said, I want your other daughter for my wife. I want both your daughters. This one is the dowry. And Suryadas Pandit said, yes, you may have her. And Vasudha is. So both daughters married Nityananda. So they said to Suryadas Pandit, who began to dance in ecstasy, that Suryadas, you've actually purchased Krishna in Kali Yuga. In the Iron Age, you have somehow purchased Krishna. He has become your son-in-law. All right. So I think we'll end it here. Jai Nityananda Rama Ki. Jai Nityananda Rama Ki. Nityananda Rama Ki. Jai. Any questions? Comments? So open your hearts. Love of God is given freely. Here. By Krishna. By Chaitanya and Nitai. They give it freely to anybody in Kali Yuga. I didn't tell you the story of Jagai and Madhai. Most of us know it. But the two drunkards and dacoits, they were given love of God. Why not you? It's available. So allow yourselves to receive it and enjoy the rest of the festival. I think we're having Abhishek now. Are we, Prabhu? Jai Shri Krishna. Thank you very much.